guys. Happy Sunday night. Hopefully you can hear us and everything like that. Sorry we're so late, but you know how shit goes.
Yeah, I went out to, I wanted to go out for a ride, so I went out to, I had a fucking, I went down a biking bar.
Yeah, you're gonna have to.
Yeah, it was shit.
Yeah, you were gone all day. And then he came back and it was after 5 and I said, well, I guess we'll push the show to 6 and then it was like 2 minutes to 6 and I went in there and he'd fallen asleep.
I was fucking asleep.
So bro. I like wake him up.
I'm just
like,
waking up right now.
Like Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Ah, I've been like fucking, yeah, I've been like trying to prepare for this all day and then it just kept putting, getting pushed back. This is a movie we've been wanting to do for a while because you had brought this up a couple weeks ago and I said, well, you know, Shudder just added a shit ton of the old, like, Universal classics. They've got, like, you know, Dracula, Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, Son of Frankenstein, The Mummy, you know, so they had all this, and I said, I'm pretty sure they added The Black Cat as well, because you had remembered that a lot from when
Love
you were younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had wanted to see it. I don't think that I saw it since I was a kid. And, yeah, The Black Cat is actually, this came out in 1934, and this was actually the first movie that Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi did together. So they would subsequently go on to do, I think they did 8 altogether, the two of them, but this was their first one.
This movie here is why they came out with the Hays Code and ratings.
Well, no, the Hays Code, they actually, the Hays Code actually kind of, sort of, half-assedly came in the early 30s, but they didn't really enforce it. As far as I'm aware, but movies like this made them like enforce it more.
Yeah, it's my understanding that this movie was fucking helped that ball roll. That they didn't like this movie.
Yeah, and honestly, legend has it that the movie there's some fucked up shit in it, especially for 1934. I heard that there was even more fucked up shit that was either just in the script. Or that they actually filmed, and that when the producers saw it, were like, absolutely not, and they had to take it out.
It's got murder in it, necrophilia, human sacrifice, Satanism, fucking everything.
It's fun for the whole family.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the character that Boris Karloff plays is kind of like the fucking stereotypical, or like, the stereotypical fucking serial killer.
Well, he's based on Aleister Crowley.
Yeah,
Aleister Crowley is who they based him on.
Aleister Crowley and that dude who made that fucking murder castle.
Oh yeah, H.H. Holmes.
H.H. Holmes. It's kind of like that, yeah.
This is honestly one of, I think this might be, this is easily one of my favorite Boris Karloff roles.
Yeah.
He looks like he's having a great time in this. And honestly, to be honest, I like this too because Bela Lugosi, I mean, he usually played like a monster, you know, he played like a vampire or Igor or whatever. And in this one, he's not exactly a hero. He's not that great a dude either. And actually, the shit that they cut out of the movie, he was actually way worse. But he is still somewhat sympathetic, I guess, only just because Boris Karloff's character is like so much more evil.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's that.
It's about this dude. He gets out of a fucking prison, and he was a prisoner of war.
Yeah, he'd been in there for like 15 years or something like that.
15 years. He was coming out of the Cool Gaul. All right, and it's Bela Lugosi's playing him. His name is fucking Vitus Veltegast. All right, and back in World War One, his army commander was a guy named Pelsic. His name was, what was it? Pelsic.
That was his last name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hjalmar.
Yeah, Hjalmar. Yeah.
No, Hjalmar.
Is it Hjalmar? Is that what it is? Because it's spelled like
Pelsic.
Shit.
Yeah, Hjalmar. No, it's Pelsic. H-J-A-L-M-A-R. Okay. Hjalmar. Right.
Hjalmar Pelsic. He was Vetus's commanding officer during World War One, and the guy was a Satanist, and he sells out his own army unit to the Austrians. He sold it out to, who was it? They sold it out to, I forgot.
I thought it was the Russians. The Russians. I could be wrong.
Yeah. And he sells them out for a bunch of money. And they're all killed on that spot. And later on after the war, with the money that he earned from selling out his own unit, he builds this big fucking castle. His own personal castle. And it's all fucking Bauhaus looking. right on the fucking spot where all his soldiers died. So his soldiers were like a satanic sacrifice.
Essentially, yeah.
To consecrate the ground for this fucking... This house that he built. And while he's there, he has all these fucking satanic elites come there to fucking go to these human sacrifices. And,
yeah, for the occasional human sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah. Now, one of the guys that he sold out was fucking Vetus, and he steals Vetus's wife.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the fucking, not only that the wife died, he has her embalmed. He's got her fucking hanging up in his glass casket.
Well, they imply that he killed her.
Yeah, they implied that he killed her. And it's kind of implied that, I guess, he's having sex with the dead body. But it turns out that she was also pregnant. And Vetus's daughter, he takes her, too, and renames her Karin.
Which is the same name as the wife.
As the mom, yeah.
And then marries the daughter.
Marries the daughter.
Which was like his stepdaughter. Yeah. I didn't know, was she pregnant at the time, or did... Because I thought that... that Vetus said that, you know, you took my wife and daughter. So I'm assuming the daughter was already born, I thought.
Yeah, the daughter was born, yeah.
Yeah, so, so I don't think the wife was pregnant. I think
he was using the daughter as a replacement wife for Karin.
Yeah.
And then later
which
on...
Which is messed up. Yeah.
Yeah, and then and in this flick, Karin 2, that's what I'm going to tell her, you know, the daughter.
Karin 2, electric.
Thinks that her dad is dead, but no, fucking this chick is like, no, he's here, he's come to fucking free you from this. And Halmar hears this shit and kills her.
Yeah.
He's got about 6 or 7 bodies down there in his glass caskets.
Yeah, he keeps them preserved so he can preserve their beauty forever.
Right.
Which, like I said, they don't say outright that he's having sex with those corpses, but I am pretty sure, I mean, it's strongly implied that there's some necrophilia involved.
Yeah, well, evidently, back in the 30s, they didn't like it because they thought necrophilia was fucking actually stipulated somehow through this. I don't really get that, but it looked like it was just implied to me. But, no, evidently, they just straight up said that, no, necrophilia is what they're talking about. But it's very much kind of a serial killer fantasy. This guy's got this fucking fantastic high-tech palace. It's real high-tech for the 1930s. It's got sliding doors like something out of Star Trek. And it's got interior lighting that's fucking all hidden up in the ceilings. And an intercom system and a radio system, which all that shit was real high-tech back in the 30s. It looked pretty cool.
Well, I kind of like that because I do kind of feel like the earlier Universal monster movies, you know, Dracula, Frankenstein, stuff like that, are always kind of set in these crumbling old gothic castles. And I thought that it was cool that they made the villain's lair, you know, for the time, like this ultra modern, like art deco-ish looking with all these kind of like silver, you know, surfaces. Everything's like metallic and everything's kind of like open and minimalist. Yeah. And in a way, that kind of made it creepier.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't what you were expecting.
And he's wearing all these damn black silk kind of uniforms, double-breasted things with fucking buttons and shit. And all these satanic brides walking around in this fucking black silk with fucking gauzy dresses with fucking platinum blonde hair. And it's good. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool, yeah.
I mean, I just love the look of this. This was the director of this was a guy named Edgar Ulmer. And this was kind of his first big movie. I don't even really think he got any more after this. Not so much because this movie wasn't a hit, because it was. But it was kind of like, again, the content of it was very shocking. So I think the producers weren't all that happy about it. Also, I think that he was having an affair with his boss's wife. Mm. So that probably didn't endear him.
Mm.
So he didn't really, he did direct some movies after this, but this was kind of like his big shot at stardom. Now, I think that he was Hungarian, if I'm not mistaken. So that's kind of why he kind of like set it in that environment.
Yeah, it's like in Hungary.
And he also worked under F.W. Murnau, who did Nosferatu, and he also worked under Fritz Lang, who did Metropolis.
Yeah.
So he was very up in the like German expressionism type thing. So you, and you can really see that, like, in the look of this movie. It is, like, very expressionist looking.
I only have one negative thing about to say about the movie, is that the score doesn't always fit the emotional tone of what's happening in the movie. It's almost kind of like the score is slightly stock. Other than that, the movie's fucking awesome.
I mean, it's easily one of the best movies of the 30s. And like I said, it's not... It's a lot different than a lot of the other ones. And the thing about it, it's that... We kind of laughed when we saw this. But at the very beginning of the credits, it's like... what do they call it? It's not based on Edgar Allan Poe's The Black Cat. Suggested by.
Yeah, suggested. Suggested by Edgar Allan Poe. Like, oh, that's fucking...
It's suggested by. In the sense that there is a black cat in it. And
that's it, yeah.
Well, and Bela Lugosi's character does have a fear of black cats, which that was from the story. But other than that, that's pretty much it. Like, nobody gets walled up alive, and, you know, the guy doesn't kill the cat with the... Because doesn't the cat have, like a white patch on his thing?
Yeah,
yeah, it's like a skull. Yeah, or something like that. Or a noose. I thought it was like a noose. It looked like a noose. And, like, somebody gets walled up and stuff. So it doesn't really have anything to do with that.
No.
Also, I kind of got the impression... Because there's one scene where Bela Lugosi, you know, as I said, he has, like, this horrible fear of cats. And so this black cat, like, walks by the doorway all chill, and he is just straight up, like, picks up a knife and throws it at the cat. Now, they don't show the cat dying, but they say later on that he killed the cat. But then you see Boris Karloff later with another black cat, and he says something about how black cats don't die, like, they're, you know, implying that they're supernatural. So I don't know if that was supposed to be the same cat, or if he just had, like, a bunch of black cats, like, around. Or I kind of thought, they don't really say this either, but I kind of thought the implication was that because he was a Satanist, I thought it was, like, his familiar. Now, one scene that they either shot and took out, or, never shot because the producer said you can't put that in there, there were actually more supernatural elements in the original screenplay. And we didn't mention, but our sort of, like, every man, every woman that are kind of, like, our, you know, our kind of look into this story of depravity are these two sort of clueless honeymooners. And they essentially just run into Bela Lugosi on a train, like, while he's, you know, they're on their honeymoon in Hungary. He's on the way to the house, like, to get revenge. Because he just got out of the prison. And so then there's an accident. And so they kind of get swept up in it and end up in this house. Mm-hmm. Now, the woman, Joan, Bela Lugosi, his character in this, although, like I said, he's nominally a good guy, but in the scenes that were cut out, he does actually, I think, rape that woman, Joan. There is a thing earlier where he's kind of, because she falls asleep on the train and he's like starts petting her hair and stuff. And, like, her husband's all kind of like, whatevs.
He's like, what are you touching my wife?
But he doesn't get that upset by it. It's like,
he looks a little pissed.
He looks a little pissed, but then he's just kind of like, oh, she looks so much like whatever. And I think there was also a scene, too, where Joan, the woman, like, they implied that she could shapeshift into the cat, or she became, or something like that. So I think that with the cat, there was more of, like, a supernatural kind of thing going on that they took most of it out. But it's not really based on the story in any meaningful way. But, you know, they, and honestly, I think in other countries it's called something else. I think they just wanted to use, you know, the Edgar Allan Poe name, obviously, because they're like, holy crap, you know, Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi, and Edgar Allan Poe. Yeah. You can't lose.
Yeah, it makes no sense that it has anything to do with fucking the Black Cat, though. It just doesn't. It's not Edgar Allan Poe. It's an original story.
Yeah.
And it's actually a very strong original story. It's kind of funny that they try to shoehorn fucking Edgar Allan Poe into it.
Well, like I said, they're always really kind of like to. On the lookout for ways to
market it.
Yeah. And, you know, Edgar Allan Poe being one of the most iconic horror writers ever and having these two iconic horror stars, I mean, that was going to be a big deal because, like I said, they, you know, they were both famous on their own, but now this was like the first time they were teaming up.
What's weird about this movie, since I've, you know, the second time that I saw it, or saw it recently, is that fucking Vitas shows up and he's got a henchman or a
bodyguard. Like a servant,
It's a bodyguard. And he's old badass, he can walk through fucking damn gunfire and shit to kill the fucking bad guy. And they don't ever fucking make any explanation about who he is, but for some reason, and I was trying to figure out what his name was in the credits, I was under the distinct impression that he was a Mongolian. But I don't know where I got that. Because it wasn't in that copy. I don't know if something got cut out from a version that I had seen.
Or you might be remembering something from a different movie.
Yeah.
Because that happens to me sometimes if it was movies that I saw a long time ago. Sometimes I'll mix up.
He did look a little bit Asian, but I was just under the impression that he was somebody from Mongolia that he had hired. But that was a good character, though. The fucking bodyguard. Thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, the thing about it, though, like, I really, really like, this was kind of one of the first movies to go, like, more in a psychological horror direction. And again, one of the few from the 1930s that was this sordid. I mean, even though by today's standards, it's, you know, not all that gory or anything like that, but
it's creepy, though.
All of the stuff that's implied in it is pretty fucked up. I mean,
you gotta think about it.
Yeah. Like, and even the scene at the end where Bela Lugosi, like, essentially flays Boris Karloff alive.
Yeah.
They just show it in shadow. Another one of the scenes that was supposedly cut out was that afterward, they actually had a shot of Boris Karloff, like, crawling on the ground with some of his skin hanging off. So, as I said, I don't know if that was just as it was written, or and then they actually shot it, and then they had to take it out. Or, because what they would do back then, they wouldn't do it now, but back then, if they cut something out of a movie, they just destroyed that footage. They didn't keep it anywhere.
Right.
So if that stuff actually had been shot, it wouldn't exist anymore because they would have just destroyed it, as was commonly done at the time.
Karloff's great in it. He's great.
Man, he's so good in this. Yeah. His
facial expressions and everything.
I love, like, he's such a physical actor. You know what I mean? Like, he's the one scene where he's introduced. He's laying in bed in the dark with Karin, who you find out later is actually Bela Lugosi's daughter.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that whole fucked up situation. And it's essentially Boris Karloff's stepdaughter, because he had married her mom and then killed her. But you don't know that until later. So they're laying in the bed, and it's dark, and then, like, he sits up, and his back is, like, really, really straight. And all you see is, like, his silhouette, and his arm reaches over, and he turns the light on. And then he has, like, this weird, like, creepy... He just has this creepy facial expression. Like, all his movements in this are just, like, really creepy. You know what I mean? He's just... And he's, like, so... He's kind of, like... I don't know if I want to say he's hamming it up a little bit. But, I mean, he's clearly having a fucking ball in this movie.
They show Karloff with his shirt off, and he's very fucking lean.
Yeah.
Very lean, and he's not a young guy, but he looks fucking good. He's in good shape, which is rare for this era. Normally, these guys were in pretty bad shape, but he was in pretty good shape for a skinny guy. Almost like he'd been doing a fucking working out. You know,
yeah, because they do show him with his shirt off, like, before the flaying scene.
Karloff.
When Bela Lugosi is like, I'm going to flay you alive.
Funny thing about Karloff is that, you know, that's a stage name. He sounds like he's something from back in the honky motherland somewhere in fucking Russia or something. I didn't know this up until fucking fairly recently, but Boris Karloff is fucking Indian. His dad was from
England. Half Indian, yeah.
His dad was from India, and his mother was from England, which is kind of like, I think that kind of helped him in his acting career, because you could put him in an exotic role, and depending on what kind of makeup you put on him, he could be any race. He could play an Egyptian from The Mummy, or he could play a fucking Mexican cowboy, or he could play a British guy, or he could play anything, because he's biracial. You wouldn't know by looking at him, though, in some of these roles that they put him in, and that's kind of a testament to his strength of an actor. He was everything. He could be anything. Karloff was the shit.
I mean, Shudder just added, because we watched it, like, last week, I think, they added a documentary about Boris Karloff called The Man Behind the Monster. And then, like I said, so they added a bunch of, like, old classic Universal monster movies as well, including a lot of Boris Karloff ones. And so I thought, yeah, and there was a lot... I knew quite a bit about Boris Karloff, but there was a lot of stuff in there that I didn't know about him. I thought that he was biracial, but they did kind of, like... Like you said, he had such a distinctive look. Even by the time this movie came out, you know, 1934, he was such a big star that on the poster, if you notice, they don't even put his first name. They just put Karloff.
Yeah.
And Bela Lugosi. So he was just, he had become like a one name actor just on the strength of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Because
he looked cool.
I mean,
he looked cool. His face and shit.
Honestly, I love Bela Lugosi too. I love like all of those old Universal monsters, but Boris Karloff, there was just something like really, I don't know. There's just something like really magnetic about him. Yeah. He's like so weird looking, but like in a really kind of hot way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he had that great voice, and he had that weird lisp.
Yeah.
I mean, he just had...
People were jealous of him, evidently, though. I mean, I've heard fucking, you know, some Hollywood stars said that he was dumb. He was... I don't know if he was dumb.
I didn't say, but you know what? He
was dumb. And Bela Lugosi just straight up called him a cocksucker.
Well, I don't know if that's true or if
they
that
were
was
just
like
jealous of it.
If they just played that up like for the Ed Wood movie, like maybe
called him a cop.
Because, like I said, they actually, the two of them were in a lot of movies together, and I don't know if there was some kind of like if their relationship soured later on.
Yeah,
but well, that's weird because I remember you telling me I had never heard that people said that Boris Karloff was dumb.
Yeah,
and when we were watching that documentary, they actually had, you know, interviews with people that had known him and, like, family members, and they had a lot of, you know, footage of, like, interviews he had done. And he doesn't sound dumb. He sounds, like, very intelligent and very articulate.
I can't remember who it was that said it.
It was some hater, probably.
It was a female actress from Hollywood.
Maybe he broke up with her and she was mad.
I can't remember who it was. She just said that, you know, behind all that hype is that basically you're just dealing with a dude who was dumb. But I don't know if it's true or not. It's just funny how they're all bitches. They're all bitches.
That's what I'm saying. I kind of feel like, because he never struck me as, because believe me, I've heard some interviews with actors that kind of sounded like idiots. Karloff does not sound like that. Yeah. He sounds very articulate and very educated in everything that I've ever heard him talk about. So,
well, a lot of it is, of course, you know, stage presence and professionalism. He was a hired hand for most of his life until he finally got a solid job acting, you know?
Yeah.
He was just a guy that you'd fucking hire to fucking fix your cupboards. But so was Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford would fix your fucking cupboards.
Well, yeah, that's...
That's
that sounded that's like a euphemism. Harrison Ford will fix your cupboards. Oh,
yeah,
I bet he will.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, you got to do something in between jobs.
I know. Juan Ramirez says wearing the Frankenstein getup whipped him into shape. Yeah, he actually had back problems for his entire life from that, from all the stuff they made him wear. Well, because, this Slasher Fred brought up the movie Gods and Monsters, which is a great movie. I actually want to see that again. I saw it several years ago. But it's about James Whale, the guy who directed Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein, and it's really, really good. And Juan Ramirez says Karloff is an awesome vampire in Black Sabbath. Yeah, that's right. In what is that called? The Diverculac or whatever that is. Yeah, he's like the best part of that. Yeah, Gods and Monsters is a good movie. And Karloff and Lugosi were also in The Raven. We should probably do that one because I remember really liking that movie. The Raven is kind of more comedic, though. Also, really nothing much to do with the Edgar Allan Poe story, but, you know, what are you going to do? It was a name that sold, like I said, Edgar Allan Poe, so they're going to have all this stuff in there. It's weird because Bela Lugosi was in another movie called The Black Cat, which came out in 1941, that I think had Basil Rathbone in it. And I think that one was also not based on the Edgar Allan Poe story. I don't know if it was marketed as... So, you know, people piss and moan nowadays about movies, and it's just like, oh my God, they made another one, but it was like fucking, it wasn't even 10 years later, they made another Black Cat that I think was like completely different than this one and didn't have anything to do, maybe having even less to do. At least this Black Cat had a black cat in it, and it did have a guy in the story who was terrified of black cats, which that's from the story, but that's about it. But that's okay. That's okay.
Still a great movie.
It is. And honestly, if you haven't seen it, it's kind of one of those ones. Yeah, you need to see like all the classic Universal monster stuff from the 30s. Like, you know, it's Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein and Dracula and stuff. But I kind of feel like this is one that people don't talk about as much. But this one absolutely is worth, because it's a lot different than those ones. a lot different.
A lot like, more realistic.
The look of it is different. And yeah, and I think, like I said, they did have, in the original cut, they did have some kind of more supernatural elements in the sense of, you know, like the cats being familiars or them being shapeshifters and stuff. But they cut out a lot of that stuff to make it more of like a human monster type of thing, or like more of a psychological horror. And that hadn't really been done all that much. So this was kind of one that was a lot different than the other stuff that was around at the time. Yeah. And as I said, it did do very well, but because of its subject matter, as I said, I think the Hays Code had been kind of floating around prior to this, but wasn't really all that enforced. But then this came out, and that might have like pushed them into being like, okay, well, now we really need to crack down, because necrophilia and flaying alive and genocide and rape and and you know, having like this, having Boris
sexual
Karloff
slavery.
Yeah, like having Boris Karloff like marry a woman and then kill her and then marry the daughter, and it's just like,
and then kill that one
and then kill her, and then it's like it's very, very fucked up. Even though they don't show it like in front of your face, but just the implication of it. I mean, can you imagine like going to see this in the 30s? That must have been like that must have blown their fucking minds, man.
And like one of the best parts about it is you got fucking Karloff dressed up in his fucking really cool looking fucking black satin outfits with all his buttons in his.
He looks so great. He looks so great. And his hair.
Yeah.
The hair with like the fucking. It's all pointed.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
And he's in this high tech fucking Bauhaus looking fucking castle. And fucking Vetus, you know, fucking played by fucking.
Bela Lugosi.
Bela Lugosi is going, you know, you murdered and sold off your whole army unit to build this castle and just calls him all kinds of shit. You raped my wife and you stole. And he just never denies it. He just sits there with a smile on his face going, yeah.
Yeah, bitch, I did all that.
Yeah, guess I did.
I'm evil as shit.
He didn't even say anything.
He didn't even,
he didn't even deny it. He's just fucking smiling.
Do I feel bad?
Yeah.
And he's just
and
like.
And it goes on through the whole movie.
Right.
All these accusations about all this fucking horrible shit that he's doing. And he's just going like, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
That was how he was building his satanic empire. Yeah.
Just, I love his facial expressions in this. It's just funny because, I mean, you know, much later, I mean, the first exposure I had to Boris Karloff when I was a little kid was obviously How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And, you know, because of his voice and everything. But they also modeled the animated Grinch after his face a little bit.
Yeah.
Which, so now every time, particularly in this movie, whenever he does that evil grin type of thing, I'm always kind of thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to keep Christmas from coming, but how? I always kind of like think of that because he has that fucking evil ass like look to him. And they just, I really love the like the theatricality of the makeup that they did on him. Like I said, he's very, it's very extreme looking. He's got all the Aleister Crowley robes, like all the black silk and everything. And it is weird because.
Well, it's also kind of paramilitary.
It's a, he has that going on as well. But like his hair is just kind of like. It's almost kind of like, I want to say it's like a low-key pompadour, a little bit, but it's kind of like, it's very, very sharp.
It's got like a widow's peak.
Like a widow's peak, but it's like, it's like a fucking hardcore widow's peak.
Yeah.
It goes like all the way, but it's like very, very sharp and very black.
And he tells people to do shit, and he's just like, go. And he fucking points and shit with his hands like this, you know?
That's what I mean. It's just, like, I love like every
like
movement in this.
Go.
Yeah.
And
every movement in this is just so...
You know, another thing I didn't really
character.
Quite understand about the movie is that when Vetus shows up, for some strange reason, his bodyguard becomes fucking Shalmar's fucking servant. It has something to do with, I guess, rank.
I wasn't entirely sure. Like, if you come to somebody's house,
your servants become their servants. I don't really understand how that happened.
Then
must be some kind of honky rules back in the
honky rules. Well, maybe because Boris Karloff's character was of higher military rank than Bela Lugosi's character.
Yeah, so something like that.
I mean, that's maybe what we thought it was.
They had to play into that game until the very end, and. When the assassination was
I like, too, that, like, Bela Lugosi, I mean, you know, the honeymooners kind of get swept up in it by accident because, like I said, there's a car accident, Joan is wounded, so they end up all having to go to the house, whereas Bela Lugosi was just going there by himself.
Yeah.
And then Joan is kind of like, you know, he's like, oh, I had to kill my daughter, so now I'm going to, or my daughter wife, and now I'm going to use you for the human sacrifice at the whole satanic shindig I'm having. So there was that whole situation going on, too. But I like that Bela Lugosi was going there to get revenge. He didn't really make any secret about that. But I liked that there was this kind of, like, weird mutual respect between the two guys. Like, it's almost kind of like Boris Karloff's like, yeah, you came here to, like, fuck me up, and it's like, I probably have it coming. But it was like, this weird little cat and mouse type of thing. And Bela Lugosi is just kind of like, well, I'm going to hold off because I want to, like, I want it to happen at the right time. He wanted to, like, go about it the right way and all this other stuff. So it wasn't just like he showed up and was just like, I'm going to kill you, motherfucker. It was kind of like this, like, psychological back and forth between the two of them. Like, he was kind of waiting for the right time, and Boris Karloff was kind of trying to get him on his side a little bit. He's like, oh, you need to come to my satanic party tonight. You'll enjoy it and all this other stuff. And it almost seemed like Bela Lugosi was kind of into it a little bit. Because remember, well, he took him down to the basement and showed him all the, he's like, hey, check out my collection.
Collection, here's your watch.
And Bella was just like sad about it. He didn't go, what the fuck is this? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Which a normal person would. You would go down there and be like,
why is she like that? She died. I wanted to keep her beauty forever. You know,
he's like, is that weird? Am I coming across as weird? Yeah. Bella's like, it is a little bit weird, but it's not that weird. Maybe. I don't know. So that's what I mean about Bela Lugosi's character being a nominally better guy, but not, he's still not a good guy.
Well, they were playing, remember they were playing chess for the fucking, for the lives of Joan and the husband.
And Bella says, if I win, then she can leave, but if you
win. Trying to save him, but playing the game was enough to be like, it's kind of strange, why not just go to the authorities? But evidently they couldn't. There was some kind of an honor bound stuff, and
yeah, it was very much that.
And Vidas was there for vengeance. He was going to commit a murder. He was going to kill this dude from outside the confines of civilian law. This was some personal shit. So he couldn't tell anybody what he was doing or what was going on, because that would deny him his personal vengeance. I believe is partly what it was.
Yeah.
So he was there he was there basically on an illegal mission, so he couldn't tell anybody what was going on.
Which, yeah, that makes sense. You're like, well, I came here to, like, murder. Although,
to kill you, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd have plausible deniability. I was just coming to visit my old friend, and I don't know what happened, how he got shot, and it's, you know, it was that kind of thing.
Well, he kind of tells him on the train that he's coming to fucking get vengeance on a dude.
Did he tell him? I kind of feel like he did. I don't know if he said it that bluntly, but he did kind of say
that he was,
yeah, there's this fucker and I'm on the way to his house.
I'm on my way to kill this dude.
And they're all kind of like, TMI? They're like, huh? They're just, like I said, they're like these clueless American tourists.
Yeah, the clueless
tourists.
American couple is basically the stand-in for you, the audience. Everything's being explained to you, simple Americans. Who don't know anything about the evil of Europeans.
Yeah, you got...
Fucking, that's really...
You're being thrust into this, like, all of this stuff with genocide and Satanism and stuff, and you don't understand it, and they're
only
just kind of like, what?
Yeah, only Europeans would know about this, so you gotta...
And they're just kind of like, oh, shit, okay, I'm in the middle
of this.
And then
at the end, there's the American couple is like, oh, who would have believed it? Nobody would have believed this. You know,
that's what, like, after all that they went through and all the fucked up shit that happened, because they saw that stuff. Like, they saw the guy get flayed, they saw all the dead women in the basement, and then they're, like, on the train afterward, like, well, just continuing the honeymoon. Wasn't that crazy?
Exactly.
Who would believe it?
Americans
nobody.
Don't play that shit.
Nobody.
That shit didn't
that's
happen.
That's ridiculous.
That was ridiculous. No one would believe. No one would believe a story
they
like that.
They were just said they weren't traumatized at all. I just thought that was really, really funny. But you know, some people have read that as almost a kind of. Not an indictment necessarily, but they were kind of making a sly joke about the Americans showing up like kind of at the end of World War One. You know what I mean? Yeah. And being like, hey, here we are. And, like, just kind of like, you know, flopping around and not really knowing what was going on. But, you know, it's some people have read it like that. Juan Ramirez says, love that stop motion Karloff in Mad Monster Party. Man, I need to rewatch that because I remember fucking loving that as a kid. And I was just thinking about it the other day and I was like, shit, man, I need to rewatch that. Slasher Fred says the plot of the movie is very similar to The Old Dark House. Yes, it is. The Old Dark House, I think, is also on Shudder, or it was. I don't know if it's still on there. I saw it a long time ago, because, like I said, I really like all these old black and white movies, and I really like old silent movies. So I've seen a lot of them, but it's been a while. And I honestly kind of wanted to rewatch The Old Dark House at some point, so I'll see if Shudder still has it. But, so, I guess, are we done?
Yeah, okay. That's good enough.
Yeah, well, Now, tomorrow, we're going in a completely different direction.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about... And we'll probably do it at 3 o'clock tomorrow, like normal. Because actually, tomorrow night, we have to go out. We have to get a memento. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about a Burt Reynolds 70s movie.
Yeah.
We just saw it randomly when we were going through Amazon Prime, like, free-to-me movies. And Tom's like, let's watch this one.
It's called White Lightning.
White Lightning.
And there's a second movie called Gator.
I had seen Gator.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize until after they said what Burt Reynolds' character's name was in this one. I said, wait, is this that to do with that one? Because I've seen that. Yes, it is.
You can see White Lightning for free on Amazon Prime. Right now. Amazon Prime. I recommend it. It's the most accurate movie depicting the South and Southern culture of the 70s. I know I was there. I was a little baby but in 73. But by the time fucking the late 80s had rolled around, it was still kind of like that. A lot of it was still, the South was still kind of like that. It's taking place in Arkansas, which there wasn't a big difference between Arkansas and Mississippi. You know, just regional differences. But it's a good movie. It's
I had a good time with it. Had Ned Beatty's in there playing a villain.
Plays a good villain.
But yeah,
Reynolds.
We'll save it for tomorrow.
Burt Reynolds is like the Southern James Bond. All right. different story. But it was made by a company that did movies in the South, for the South, by the South. They didn't care if it sold outside the southern part of America, because once they went to theaters, turned out like Memphis, Tennessee, the ticket sales there was alone to cover the cost of the movie. So they just made some movies in the South in the 70s and in the early 80s, and they did well. I think Smoking the Bandit was also the same company, wasn't it? I think it was.
Well, Hal Needham for sure worked on both movies. I'm not sure what the production company was.
But it was a good production company. Go check out White Lightning, and then we'll talk about it later.
We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Like I said, it's completely different from this one. Yeah. And then, I don't know, we watched another movie last night that was from the 70s. But I don't know if we necessarily want to cover it or not, because it was terrible.
Which one?
The Doug McClure one.
Triangle. No, don't worry about that one.
That was really not worth watching.
But White Lightning was kind of like the Mad Max of the South. It has a lot of the... reminded me of a lot of fucking Mad Max 1. In a certain way, similar. I could see how Mad Max may have fucking ripped off some of the stuff from White Lightning.
Well, like I said, there was kind of a whole sub genre of these types of movies going on back in the 70s.
Car with action.
With like Southern stuff and like car chases. And
frontier type badassery. Yeah. But when we come to fucking Southern culture and fucking badass shit from back in the day, so far, this is one of the best movies of the South that I've seen.
Cheryl says Burt Reynolds Day. Yeah.
Burt Reynolds is the shit, man. And he's pretty young in this one. I didn't realize that Burt Reynolds was as handsome as he was. When Burt always looked pretty good in the movies that I saw, but in 73, he was very handsome. I could see why he was so popular. Very handsome.
Yeah, he's very charismatic.
Yeah.
Juan Ramirez says Black Cat, White Lightning. I know, I thought of that too, and we totally did not even do that on purpose. We just watch random shit, you guys. Yeah. A lot of times we don't plan it. Sometimes we do, but not usually. What we'll usually do is we'll go through, like I said, I have Hulu, we have Shudder, and we'll kind of like go through Amazon Prime, the free ones, and just whatever we're in the mood for watching, we'll watch that. So it could be literally anything that comes up that we just feel like we're in the mood for.
So in the White Lightning series, there's two of them. There's White Lightning, and then there's Gator. We haven't seen Gator yet, but
I saw it a long time ago.
Gator's supposed to be better than White Lightning. Yeah. We'll see.
Do Excalibur someday. We did Excalibur.
Yeah, we did a long time ago, too.
It was a long time ago, though.
Maybe we'll revisit it sometimes.
Yeah, because that was classic. Honestly, that was maybe in a first year that we were doing the show.
One of my favorite movies.
I think that we did that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that same director did Zardoz also.
Yeah, John Borman.
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll be back tomorrow talking about Burt Reynolds. From Universal Classics to Burt Reynolds moonshining. So yeah, that's just how we roll on this fucking show. So so have a good rest of your weekend. I know there's not much of it left at this point. And we will see you guys again tomorrow afternoon. Bye.